But for me, it always starts with, if you're going to reach your potential on the court, you got to be chasing your potential in life.
On today's episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast, we are joined by Coach Chris Kilsmeyer, the current head coach of the Cleveland State women's basketball program. Coach Kilsmeyer's path into the profession started as a student intern at Iowa State before earning his first assistant coaching role at Howard Payne. After one season as an assistant, he was promoted to head coach at Howard Payne, where he built the foundation of his coaching philosophy. He then made the jump to Division II level at Wayne State College, continuing his growth as a head coach before taking over at Cleveland State. In this episode, we discuss what he felt prepared for and what he didn't feel prepared for when moving from Division III to Division II and Division I. The first priorities he focuses on when taking over a new program as a head coach, and a common mistake he sees young coaches make that he just wishes they would avoid more. Please welcome to the podcast, Coach Chris Kilsmeyer. Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. Welcome, coaches, to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. Your host, Alan Major, Doug Caputo. Today, we're joined with a legendary coach in the game as of right now. He's had a ton of head coaching experience. I'm sure everybody tuning in is going to learn a lot. We have the head women's coach at CSU Cleveland State University, Coach Chris Kilsmeyer. Coach Kilsmeyer, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, man. I don't know about that introduction. I don't know if I'm legendary. I just mean I'm old, I guess, but certainly appreciate the kind words.
Of course. No, the main reason, especially just with your head coaching career, your background, a lot that you have done, you were a young head coach right out the gates, which is absolutely amazing. And we'll obviously dig into that a little bit more. First things first, I want to say, and I want to make sure to give a shout out to my cousin, Sam Sharanovich. The reason being is because I know he works for Barron's, and I know he has worked with you guys multiple times. He gave me a call one time, and he goes, Doug, you have to look into this team. He goes, this Cleveland State team, their women's coach, their whole staff, everybody, they're the nicest people. He gave you guys such high compliments, the stuff that you guys do in practice, the games, everything. So I want to make sure to give him a shout-out, because if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be able to have this opportunity. And it's really good to – I heard from an inside man that there's a lot of great things that you guys are doing. So I just wanted to make sure to share that.
Again, I appreciate those kind words. We try hard to do things the right way. I think words are powerful and can mean a lot sometimes. And to hear those, it's certainly a good feeling, because that's a reflection that we want of our program.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. No, and then speaking on that, just your background, what we'll do is we always like to jump into the beginning of things, the ultimate, like where you started with your journey, how it transitioned, what lit the spark for you. But just going back to the very beginning, the intern, right? An intern for Iowa State as a student, and then later transitioned to being a head coach. First was an assistant for a year, then head coach, and then you just completely worked your way up the chain. So you have a path, a linear path that a lot of people definitely would want to learn more about. At least I'm sure a lot of people want to be on that line, that young head coach, and keep working your way up to a Division I program. But the first thing is just looking back on the beginning of that journey, what lit the spark for you to get that opportunity as an intern at Iowa State and really as that student? What pushed you into the coaching realm?
Yeah, I think I was like a lot of young kids at the age of 20, trying to figure out what the heck I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And I said, I don't know how many times, I'm 20 years old. How am I supposed to know what I want to do forever? And I really struggled with that. I had an athletic background my entire life. Certainly wasn't good enough to play basketball at Iowa State, but I was born and raised in Hilton Magic. Johnny Orr in those days with Jeff Grayer and all those guys. It was a special time, Iowa State basketball, and it's been a history of that for a long time. Really thoroughly enjoyed the beatdown of the Hawks the last two nights. That's outstanding. But trying to figure out what I wanted to do. And I just talked to a lot of people, and certainly a conversation that led to another conversation that changed my life was meeting with my advisor And my advisor was really close with trying to help me understand my journey. And she first started out by putting me in a class where I was going to job shadow a kindergarten teacher and a freshman PE. And within 2 minutes of being in that kindergarten class and seeing them climb all over my legs and jump on me, yeah, this isn't for me. I'm out on this one. Unfortunately, I still had the whole semester to put up with it. And freshman PE was really cool, but it just wasn't enough fun, excitement for me. And so I went back to her at the end of the semester and I said, thanks, but that really wasn't it. And then she encouraged me to schedule a meeting with Coach Bill Finley. And I was like, really? They're starting to get hot. They're building this thing. He's not even going to want to talk to me, let alone actually give me an opportunity or something like that. And she's, no, I know him. He's a great guy. Call him and set up an appointment with him. And so I did. And he took the call right away. I was meeting with him later on that week. And he really listened to what I was wanting and needing and gave me that opportunity. And it's a meeting, a moment in my life that I'll never forget forever. And it's why a big part of how I coach still to this day is that don't think a door is closed. If it's partly open a little bit, which our advisor gave me the opportunity to have that thing cracked open, kick it in and see where it goes. And from that day, when he gave me that opportunity, I just fell in love with what you got to do on a day-to-day basis, the excitement, the newness, just the chase of doing things in a way that can impact so many lives. And so that meeting changed my life forever and certainly is a big part of how and why I coach to this day.
Wow. What did you guys agree on, you and Coach, in terms of what he wanted you to do? Was it, and it probably was pretty wide open, right? Like sometimes when you're an intern, your job description is whatever. It's like a one word job description. So what did you jump into right away, you know, that, and I know you loved it, so I'm not even going to ask if you loved it or not, but what did, you know, when you first started jumping into it, was it practice stuff? Was it stuff around the office? Was it, I used to take Gene Cady's car to the car wash because he'd yell at me if I forgot to clean the cigar tray. So what was it like for you in terms of like when you first started jumping in as an intern?
Yeah, I was involved in really every aspect of the program from an observatory way. Like I wasn't game planning or scheming or anything along those lines, but I just got to observe everything. And that was so powerful for me because it didn't matter what it was. I was behind the scenes taking notes and learning and observing. And like you tell the story of washing the car and stuff. I didn't care what it was. Any opportunity that I got to do something, I did it with a smile on my face and I was approaching it like it was the most important thing for the program. Even though I knew a lot of the things I was doing really wasn't that important. A couple things that stuck out. He basically put me with, I was Latoya Shaven. She's still an assistant there. I was basically her assistant and her and I had a lot of fun times in those offices together. And a couple of job responsibilities that kind of stick out for me was I had to call 1,000 Little Clone Club members and find out if they were going to come to the pizza party on Saturday so we could get a direct number of pizzas ordered. And I'm like, how am I not going to fail this? How am I not going to fail this job?
Right.
If we order too many, I'll reimburse the program or something because I don't know how good I'm going to do at this because who's going to actually fall through? Who knows they're coming? So that was a fun one. I cut a lot of commercials out because that was back in the day when you sat in the film room and the recording's going and you push play and you push pause to get
deck
those
to deck
out.
Oh, yeah.
So deck that the deck coaches could watch the film without that commercial being in there and having to fast forward through it. It was a lot of different jobs and opportunities. And certainly a lot of them were more important than those two. But I kind of always highlight those two because I approach those two jobs or anything that was asked for me in a way that it didn't matter what it was. It's the most important job and it needs to be done for this program to have success. Again, even though I'm pretty certain that anything I did that year probably didn't help the program a whole lot have the kind of success that they had. But that was what Coach Finley made me feel a part of the program in every aspect of what I was doing with just how that entire staff treated everybody. And that was a powerful impact on me at a young age as a coach with all the high intensity and stress that comes with everything. Can you really push people to be their best, but still treat them the right way?
It's so good you say that, man. You learn that no job is too big or too small right away, which is awesome. But I think the one thing we all need to be reminded of, how no matter how long we've done this, or if we're just getting started, like you were then, don't ever lose the fun and the purity of it. Because the purity of it is like you were involved with basketball. And the purity of it is you're getting to do something that you like, you can't wait to get to the building every day. Like you're just so excited, that excitement. And we can get jaded in our world because it gets transactional now. And
yeah,
it's just very easy to get jaded. And you got to be careful that you don't get jaded. And what you're talking about, and we can hear the excitement of your voice, as if it's back then, the very first day. But there's a purity to that. And the purity is that you're truly getting to do something that you enjoy. And I don't think we should ever, no matter how long or how short that we've been part of this game, none of us should ever lose that. I'm really glad you said that, shared that.
I think it's also really important always to remember where you came from. It's the influences that I had in that program are all over me to this day. And LaToya Chabon, I'm talking to her last night during the Iowa State men's game. And it was almost like we were still reliving what it was like 30 years ago, being in that office. She's picking me up. It's halftime and I'm frustrated that they're not playing well. And she's just stop. Just believe. We're okay. All right, we got this. And then they come out and go on a 16-0 run to start second half. And I'm like, yeah. Something's just never changed. Just keep that positivity and you never know where life's going to go. Just enjoy the chase and do the best that you can.
No doubt, man. So good.
I want to go back on what you said too in the very beginning, how you ultimately got that intern position at Iowa State is the power of relationships too, right? That's something that you definitely denote on, like somebody who you didn't necessarily think maybe could get you into basketball or the realm that you wanted to ends up knowing the head coach and being able to get you into an opportunity. And then it transitions, blossoms into now you're a head coach at Cleveland State with obviously more in between. But like, it's just like that one little person, I shouldn't say little person, that one person who was a big piece in your life at this point, and you had no idea ultimately is something a lot more, which says a lot. Now, I do want to ask one question. Did you get the right amount of pizza for the pizza party?
I don't even remember the answer to that question. We'll go with yes, because I didn't want to fail. So.
Yeah,
that's fair. Okay.
Hey, you know what, though?
It's a tall task.
When you're a student, you know where those leftovers are going. If you're a student,
you're right. Yeah, you certainly did. I'm sure me and the boys finished it off that night.
Yeah. Always order more. Always order more.
Yeah. Fellas in the dorm are happy, man. Fellas in the dorm are happy.
I do want to highlight one thing that you're leading to here. Like, what if I wouldn't have taken that advice from that advisor? What if I wouldn't have followed through on that? What if I'd have just said, you know what? You know, that's not going to happen. How many times in life are we hit with a powerful message, a powerful opportunity, and we don't take advantage of it because we don't want to put something into action, or maybe we're fear of failure, and it just stops it from ever having a chance to come to fruition because we can't get out of our own way. And that's a big part of how we coach here at Cleveland State, is remembering that every day you're going to have little opportunities to impact, and lots of opportunities are going to come your way where they can change the trajectory of your life. And are you going to take advantage of them? Are you going to work hard to put them in action and go be a doer? And that, I was just fortunate with that. That was a way, being raised on an Iowa farm, that was second nature for me. But I just think that's so important, because so many times people are not taking opportunities that are right in front of them and they don't even really realize it. And then they're frustrated that they're not getting further or getting more of an opportunity. And they had multiple opportunities within the last month and they didn't do anything with. So take advantage, be a doer.
No doubt. So good.
We'll fast forward a little bit following the intern position. I mentioned in the beginning a little bit that you were an assistant for a year at Howard Payne and then ultimately just transitioned into head coach, right? Howard Payne, Wayne State, Cleveland State, you worked your way up the chain. D3, D2, D1, that right there is instrumental. It's huge. And that's not a lot of people have that path. So it's obviously shown that you had the success of the Division III to be able to make the bump and then to make the next jump and so on. And now you guys are killing it right now as when we recorded this for everybody, 8-2 in the season. You guys have a phenomenal season going on just so far this year. But that being said, that first year as a head coach, was there anything that you were maybe ill-prepared for, or maybe like learning curves that you had to go through that really caught you and you were like, I was not prepared for this situation, and things that you learned from that now you're a lot more comfortable with?
Yeah, no doubt. And I've said this a lot. People ask me, what have you reflected on the most over your times? And what are some of the things that you would change if you could go back and do it different? And it's a quick answer for me. When I was a young coach, I needed to remember, chill out, dude, it'll be okay. You just got to step back from the emotion. It's such an emotional job. It's an emotional sport. You want your players to play with emotion, but you don't want them to be too emotional. And you have to remember that as a coach. You certainly want to be a passionate leader, somebody that is just exudes excitement being around you, and because that's what the game is, right? That's how we should play and coach and operate. But you're going to get thrown a lot of things. You talking games, calls, officials, runs that are going against you. We all know the business. We know how much of a roller coaster and an up and down thing this is going to be. How much can you stay level-headed, keep it even keel, and really try to make sure that you understand that you can work through this. And the older you get, the more experience you get, it does get easier until the NIL world comes and then it blows the whole thing up. And now you feel like you don't know anything that you were doing 5 years ago anyway. So now I feel like I'm a rookie head coach a lot of times all over again. But just know that it's pretty simple for me. It's always been this way. Work really hard. And I'm big on this because you line 10 people up and they all think they work really hard. But yet the couple in that group that really work the hardest are outworking the others. And those others don't even really realize it. We take great pride in us being the ones that we know we're at the forefront of what we're putting into this thing. And the passion and the drive that we go about this thing is hopefully second to nobody. And then just surround yourself with really good people. And chase that thing together. And just remember that those two things guide you. You can work through most everything with the help of your faith. And that's how we operate here.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. It's funny. John Sally said this one time. He was talking about coaches in the NBA even. And he said some coaches, what he enjoyed, I think he was just talking about Phil Jackson one time, and just he admired the way that he just stayed level-headed, because he said at times coaches become just angry, frustrated cheerleaders. And we have to be careful that we don't become just angry, frustrated cheerleaders, because now you're riding high and low on every single thing. Like you just said, like a bad call, you're pissed off, 8-0 run, you're jumping and it's all right to be excited, but you're hyped into that. And then a guy commits fouls a 3-point shooter. Then you lose your mind on that. And the reason why he was talking about that even keel thing is because players feel that, right? They feel the things that we either, if we're riding high and low on things, then they're going to be, like you said, emotional. Emotion's great, but emotional, it's like the Doc Rivers thing. You want character on your team, not characters.
Yeah.
So same thing, the passion versus emotion. But players feed off of our body language, and they feed off, even if we don't say anything sometimes, they feed off of just us. And we don't give players enough credit for being brilliant in reading us and how we react to things as coaches. I'm really glad you said that, because we have to just make sure that we don't become those angry, frustrated cheerleaders, and we pour our energy into teaching and finding solutions as opposed to flipping out.
And how hard is that? And you may bring up a guy that was the best at it, because anybody that knows anything about Phil Jackson and the way he coached and how you viewed him, it was always that way. He may jump off the sideline to go scurry down the sideline to get 2 seconds with the official, and then it's done, right? Like it was, you picked the guy that it was the epitome of being able to do that from a visual way. Like it didn't matter what it was. It's, we're all a work in progress with it. I'm sitting here saying this to you, and we're practicing poorly later on this afternoon, I'm going to have to remind myself. You remember what you said this morning? Like,
yeah, that's right.
Walk this back. Like,
regulate the emotions. Take a breath.
That's an everyday deal, though. Every day.
And you don't realize, too, and as a player, after looking back on it, when I was a player, I didn't really think about it. But you turn into your head coach and the people around you so much, and you don't even realize it. As a player, as coaches now, I look at, like, players that we've had in previous teams that I've had, even current. You look at the players, and their attitudes start to change in small ways. It's not their whole personality, but in small, minuscular ways, they start to change. And you can see, like, they're changing into the person who they're around 24/7, the people they're around 24/7. So that kind of goes into, and it ties up the whole, if you don't have good people around you, you're ultimately creating worse people all consistently throughout the whole. So it all starts at the top and trickles down, but the attitudes and just like the way you act can change so much in a program. It's crazy.
No doubt.
Which, speaking on that, is ultimately like building a culture. And for you, you've built, you have helped rebuild multiple cultures, multiple programs, different places that you have been at, as we mentioned. What were some things, like, first time you go into really any of your positions, the Howard Payne, the Wayne State, the Cleveland State, really any of the positions as a first-time head coach? What were some of the things that, like, as soon as you got appointed head coach, you thought, this is what I want to go do immediately? These are some of the top things on my list that I have to go knock out.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that if you're ever going to have a chance to reach your potential on the court, in between the lines, you got to really chase your potential in life, what it's like to do things long before you get to the court. So for me, it starts, number one, with just getting them to understand how to go about doing things the right way long before they get to the court. And it's just simple things, how to show up on time and get to the right class and be engaged in that class, and just come some of the most simple things. But for me, it always starts with, if you're going to reach your potential on the court, you got to be chasing your potential in life. And then for me, it's creating a standard of success and excellence is the benchmark. Like, it's not an outlier. This is who we are and what we're going to do and how we go about chasing that in every aspect of your life is really what's going to dictate whether you have an opportunity to be able to attain that on the court. You're telling me that basketball is one of the most important things, or the most important thing in your life outside of hopefully your faith and your family. Are you actually operating that way? Are you actually putting those things into action? Because ballers are all going to say that, right? But then their body language or just whatever it may be can tell that your actions aren't operating that way. A big piece of it for me is also, once you've taught them how to go about it, do they believe it? Do they believe it and put it into action? Being able to believe that you can reach the potential that this coaching staff is putting in front of you is really hard to create. They say they believe it. They think they're working at the level that you want them to be, but are they actually working at that level? And do they really chase it with a belief that everything I'm putting into this has a chance to come in to a fruition on the back end? And how you go about creating that accountability in their life is so important. And I think as a coach, and this is harder than ever, how do you push them and get them on that belief work ethic side and come with you? And not to think that I'm pushing on you this hard because I just want to be mean or something, that this is what I genuinely believe is what's best for you. And if you come with me, you have a chance to reach that full potential. And, you know, it'll be one of the greatest moments in your life. I really believe that. But how much you push on them without getting them to teeter to the other side, like, the heck with this, I just can't do this. I don't want to do this. This is too hard. Find that balance, I think, is every coach's real challenge, to be able to create, not going one way or the other too far with it, because it's such an easy way to slip a little bit and then you're on the negative side of that, which is not where you want to be.
Yeah, no, you just clearly define that sweet spot that we're all trying to find. And I don't know if there's a surefire way, but sometimes you wonder, is your best chance is the quality of your relationship with that particular player or players, and the quality of that relationship allows you to tell more truth. I think to say the things that you feel like you need to say even though they may not want to hear it. But if you've created a foundation there of, you know what, coach cares, man. I ain't like, he called me out on something. I ain't really like to be called on that. But that's the same dude every day. Or that's the same, that coach is the same person every day. And you know what? I'm gonna roll with it. Because if the quality of your relationship or whatever you foundation you've laid is solid, I think that helps you. And that's right now in the game that we're in and in the landscape that we're in, it probably is our best chance. And again, even though it's no surefire way, but it probably does give you the best chance to be able to do exactly what you just said.
No doubt. Coaches, I think, you know, this is a really important point I can make here. You're gonna be tested with, can you stay true to who you want to be and how you want to go about doing things the right way? We as coaches, I hope if you're getting a head coaching job, you are a head coach, that you know how to do things the right way. Are you going to choose to do them the right way? And are you going to choose to install that accountability in your own life and how you operate as much as what you're trying to install that in others? And we know the challenges that are being presented in every aspect of college athletics right now, no matter what sport it is. Can you stay true to who you are, who you want to be, and operate in a way that makes sure you're installing that same accountability in your own life and the same way of doing things right, the right way for yourself and the program as much as what you're pushing on others? And I think that's so trying right now, because how many aren't doing it that way?
Yeah, so true, man. Said.
And you've said one word multiple times, and I want to make sure to say it one more time, the accountability. That's huge. That's huge. Not even amongst yourself, holding yourself accountable, but then again, what we were just saying, you hold yourself accountable, you hold others accountable. If you're not doing it yourself, it's hard for you to hold somebody else accountable when you can't do it yourself. Like, everybody can read through the lines when you're not doing it. So I'm glad you said that. That's phenomenal.
I think it's one of the most important words as a coach.
You know what, Coach? I'm glad you said that, because accountability is a partnership. And I made a mistake in a game the other day. A guy got split on a pick and roll coverage, and I was blocked. So he was in the fray, and then a ref got in front of me. So when he checked out, I actually thought he was the one that made the mistake. I go back and watch film. It was someone else. So I had to go see this guy in film the next day and say, hey, man, look, my fault. And when you checked out, I thought that was you that got split in this pick and roll coverage. It wasn't you. And I said, he's like, it's all right, Coach, don't worry about it. I said, no. I said, we can't ask you guys to be accountable and then we don't admit our mistakes as well. I said, I had to make sure I came and saw you today and clean that up, because this, but that's what I mean. The accountability thing should be a partnership. And if we can be honest about our shortcomings and say, hey, fellas, my bad, then I think that means that creates that atmosphere of, you know what, we're in this together.
I had to do something very similar to that this week myself. I just think, how much do you really self-reflect, and how much do you stay true to putting that reflection into action when it may not be exactly what you wanted it to be? And this is a tough profession for that to be not just, we'll just look the other way with it and just go on with our day. Meanwhile, who took the brunt of that, that you don't want to just own? And the longer I've coached, I think the more challenging it is for young people to step up and own their mistakes and want to say, there was no intent here, but I did make a mistake here and I'm sorry for it. And we're going to stay on that train here, because we got to keep that moving forward in a better place for where we're headed. And we need the right people saying the right things, doing the right things with it. And that's critical.
Absolutely.
More than enough times in a practice, some kid will walk over, ask a question, and he'll say, what did I do here? What did I do wrong? Early in my career, I would sit there and I would say, this is what you did, and say something just because you have to give an answer. You feel like you have to give an answer. Now I'm starting to learn. I'm like, if you didn't see it, you didn't see it. Tell them I didn't see it, or walk me through it. Like, that's my favorite thing to say now, is I didn't see it. Walk me through it. so then we can talk through it and then we can get to where the point, and then I'll say this is the answer. Because that's the one thing that I learned as a young coach is I always had to give an answer because then it looks like I know what I'm talking about. And now looking back on it, I was like, half the time, it's better for you to not give an answer. Or you look at somebody and you say, I messed up, my bad. Like you guys just said, like that's perfect.
What is wrong with saying that you didn't see it or you don't understand? Like, you got to get it right. And it's really hard to get it right. But most chances are, most times you're going to get it right if you try. If you step back from it and you want to get that right answer, you want them to understand what you want them to understand, process through it. And I think you're right. Certainly, I didn't do that very much as a young coach. But that's the experience factor that you get that just people will respect it. It doesn't mean you don't know what you're doing. Like,
yeah,
it means you need more information. Gather the information, process the information, and get it right.
No doubt.
Or at least attempt your best to get it right. And you just move on.
Absolutely.
No, that's great, Coach. And I'd say the biggest thing, too, is just like full circle, everything we said, the accountability, holding yourself accountable, doing the little things. Like literally, that's the one thing that as a young coach too, I would always look back. Granted, I guess I'm still young too, but at the same point, you always look back and you're like, all these words that everybody says, it just doesn't make sense. Like accountability, all that. How do you really move up by doing that? And now looking back on it, I'm just like, it 100% makes sense. All these little things fully develop into a big picture. And it right there is building a culture, which is building a program, which is ultimately right everything that you need, right? If you do it to yourself, then as a head coach, then the assistants are hold themselves accountable. Then the assistants will hold the players accountable. Then the players are going to hold everybody, each other accountable. And it's just one linear path. But what we'll do now, Coach, is I want to hop into we started a new little segment called the Hot Seat segment. Really all it is just asking a couple questions, very base level questions, but more just to get an idea as to your thought processes in live time. So starting with the first one, just out of either maybe mistakes that you have seen young coaches do, and this is talking into what we just talked in, I guess, a little bit, what you have seen other young coaches do, or you can even reflect on yourself, but a mistake that you have seen coaches do, young coaches do, that you wish they could try to avoid more.
I hit on it a little bit earlier, just reacting on emotion. You have to walk yourself back from that emotion and process the situation. And I think the best way to do that is to gather as much information as you can. And whether it's dealing with a discipline issue, or maybe it's how to rebound better, like how do you go about gathering information that gives you a better chance to tackle the situation the way you want to? Our program, myself as a coach, we evaluate everything. You're minus 8 rebounding, you're going to go to work on fixing that rebounding, right? Common sense. But do you look at every aspect of your program constantly and find ways to make it better? And in our program, I'm looking at strengths of our program and still trying to make those strengths better. People in our program learn that I'm going to say, that's good. It's just not good enough. We got to make it better. And for me, that is just the strive for the chase of excellence, close to perfection as it can be. And if you're not going to reflect on every aspect of your program, there's going to be a part of it that's going to get missed. And then at some point, it's probably going to be a real deficiency or a real weakness of your program. And you're going to wonder, why is it? And you got nobody to blame than yourself for not identifying it long before it got to this point.
Well said. The next one would be the most challenging part. If you had to pick anything out of just being the head of a modern day basketball team at any level, what do you feel is the most challenging part that people from the outside maybe don't see or aren't very familiar with? Just something that you feel challenges you as a head coach. Great answer.
I'll maybe answer it a little bit different than maybe people would think, but and I hope this isn't the way it continues to be, but this is much more transactional now. And you have to be at peace with that. I hope I get the opportunity to coach some kids for 4 years moving forward, but will I? Like, and you have to come to grips with that And that was and still maybe is hard for me, because when you've been doing it this long, you have a much different way of going about building the roster every year. And it's different now than it's ever been, and it's never going back to that way. So how do you get to be at peace with what this is now and still understand how much you can impact in a way that was still there for a long time? It's just, I want to develop. I want an opportunity to have that long period of time to impact. And that still could be there, but the chances and percentages of that are much lower than they've ever been. And you've got to just be okay with that and find a way to work through it.
Yeah, no doubt. That's one of the toughest things. But then I guess the last one we would have is really, and this one is, I guess, different for everybody, just your biggest pet peeve in practice. So I'll give you an example, as mine would be when our bigs don't set screens well, or the guards don't wait for the screen. Drives me insane. You'll always hear me, or communication. That's the other one that I feel like I yell at everybody the most for, lack of communication. Gives you a little bit of an example, but just like the biggest pet peeve, the number one thing that if the team doesn't do this, it's really just going to irritate you.
Number one, lack of passion, lack of communication, lack of excitement. Like, we're not in church, and I know there's segments of church that can get pretty boisterous, but when that sermon's going, it's like you got to bring the juice to that court, and you know, you're not going to get to do this for much longer in your life. Let's act like it. Let's be passionate. Let's drive that thing with a ton of excitement. It's okay if you're a quiet person. We're not trying to turn you into the most loud person on the court, but you got to say some stuff, and you got to be willing to work at that. You can't just say, I'm a quiet person, and it's just not going to change. Like, you got to bring that excitement, that passion. And then number two, don't walk ever in between the lines for any reason. Do not walk to get water. Do not walk to the next drill. Do not walk ever. When is the game played when you're walking? Never. So never allow that on the court in between the lines, ever.
I love the don't walking one, because I used to get yelled at my high school coach all the time. I reference him all the time in these, but he would yell at us for in games. He'll call a timeout. We'll be at the far end. We'll start walking back to the timeout. And he would spend 15 seconds of that timeout yelling at us because we walked to the timeout. And it's, you learn not to do it. You definitely learn not to do it after you get cussed out a couple times. But it's one of those things where, again, going back to the beginning of what we said, the little things. So the not walking, it's huge. I love that you mentioned that.
Let me hit a question for all the coaches out there. How much can you learn by watching how teams enter the floor for a game and how much they talk on the floor within the first 2 minutes? How do you get onto the court, and what is your level of excitement and talking in those first 2 minutes? How much can you learn from what that team is all about in 2 minutes? And then how do they leave the court? How do they leave the court at halftime? How do they come back on the court at halftime? How do they leave the court after a game win or loss? What does it say about how that program is being ran?
Mm-hmm. Oh, gold, man.
Says
solid
a lot.
Gold. Solid gold.
And I hit that because solid I observed gold. That. There's not a time. Some coaches stay in the locker room for, you know, whatever, till 2 minutes before the game or something. We go in the locker room around the 35-minute mark. We come out at that 26-minute mark. And from 26 to 14, I'm just observing. I'm watching what our opponent's doing. I may watch our players a little bit. I hope that I don't have to, because there's no reason to. I know what they're doing. Like, they're in the hands of our staff, and there's no reason to watch them. So if I'm watching them very much, that's probably not a good thing, because I don't know what they're doing, because I already know what they're doing. I'm a big observer. I want that information, and I want to get a good sense. Yeah, I don't think they're ready. We got them. Let's go.
The most intimidating thing, and I've told our guys this numerous times, the most intimidating thing, think of it even when you were a player or even as a coach, the most intimidating thing is in warmups. When you look at the other side of the floor, you have 20 guys on the other side running, doing layup, even if it's layup lines. They're jumping up and down. They're talking. They're all looking united. They have energy. And it's just, that's frightening. It is, because those guys are going, or guys, women, which whatever, but you know that they are coming at you head on, and they're going to give you everything. And you know they're in sync. That's intimidating. Before you even touch 1 second of that game, those warmups say a lot.
That right there is exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the team that you don't want to play.
Never. No doubt. Coach, this has been phenomenal. So thank you again. I know you have a big day tomorrow. You got a game tomorrow. And obviously there's a lot on your plate as a head coach, but we always like to just tell everybody, especially you, thank you very much for taking some time just to chop it up with us, talk some hoops, but then also be able to share for all the other coaches out there who would definitely take some information and stories away from this. So thank you.
You're welcome. But thank you for the opportunity to talk about my journey. And I think it's one that others can learn from. And there's not a more important time in my life with trying to get back to the game. Like the game has given me so much. I'm a very historian of the game. And I just know how much it's affected every aspect of who I am. And for me to be able to give back to others, I need a platform for it. And you guys gave me a platform today. So thank you for that. And keep doing amazing work, because I know you guys are the big time. Like, you get it done. So it's great to be on you.
We're trying, man. We're trying. But no, we can only be good as our last guest. And that's the way we try to approach it. It's fun for us, but it's also selfishly, we learn and get better with every pod. Yeah, keep rolling, Coach. This is it. You got two Viking fans right here for sure.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate that very much.
Everybody, thank you all for tuning in to another episode of the Rising Coaches Podcast. As always, Alan Major, Doug Caputo, keep working. Coaches, keep rising. Go Vikings. See you all next time. Take care.
Help your players get more out of their training sessions with our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. As the official shooting machine of Rising Coaches and the number one selling shooting machine in the world, Dr. Dish provides an experience packed with more reps, more motivation, and just plain out more fun. Be sure to mention Rising Coaches for an additional $250 off select Dr. Dish shooting machines. I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in with us this episode. If you are not a member, want more content, or even be a potential member on our member spotlight to have your story heard, go visit risingcoaches.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Rising Coaches. And don't forget to subscribe, leave a rating, and review so we can continue to keep rising together.